Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Kevin Moss, and today is one of the happiest days of your life. You're surrounded by your family and your friends, people who love you and trust you just because you're you. You've been loyal and loving to your family and friends, and your schoolwork has made everyone proud. So while today is a special day, just remember that as long as you keep going the way you're going, every day can be special.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I get excited because I know we're going to have a great German chocolate cake.
Here's the move. Yes?
Not sure. This is maybe a little bit like the Strasburg card.
Oh, I still need to find that.
I have that. That is a recording from a cassette tape that I found. This, it was like a card. Kevin Moss birthday greeting on a cassette. I found it at a flea market somewhere between, I don't know, Batavia and Penn Yan. I was on my way for a weekend with my wife, and let's stop at flea markets. Okay. And so I found this thing.
Who on this earth does not have a story about the thing they found between Batavia and Penn Yan?
So I've got this thing, and Greg, our old producer Greg Bauk, dumped it into the system, so we have it for all time. I still have the thing. I have the cassette and the card thing that it came in. Kind of think I know where it is. It can't be too many places, but I haven't seen
That's
it.
Exactly
but,
how I am about
but,
Strasburg.
Right, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Is it lost?
If I look, the first place that I think it is, if it's not there,
it's
then it might be lost.
I forgot I had to do this.
Lost in the house.
The World Series is already a long time ago.
Yes, that's right. If we're going to capitalize, we need to
it's
move,
too late.
Don't we?
Oh, it's already
it.
Too late.
Damn it! There's always next year.
Kevin Moss. I got a text from Greg today. I almost responded with a reference to the German chocolate cake. My wife, I think this is a great move. Last night, she, with the kids, went shopping for a cake for me.
All right.
And, you know, what do? You're like, what's Daddy's favorite? Cheesecake. I never eat cake at these parties.
Me either.
Weddings. I mean, I just never want the cake. What is it? What even is it? Just frosting and cake? Like, I never want that.
No.
So,
I go just for ice cream. Like, you want cake and ice cream? Oh, just give me a bowl of ice cream. Good. I don't need the cake. It's just ice cream.
No cake.
Fine.
Cake.
Ice cream cake.
Cake.
Ice cream cake. Winner. Love it. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Does they got you cheesecake?
Oh, no. I'm glad to hear about it. So, she said she knows my favorite is a cheesecake, so she bought a small cheesecake, but she also knew herself and the kids would not want that.
Okay.
So then she bought another cake for the three of them.
All right.
Both small. I mean, I barely touched mine, but.
Were there candles in one of the cakes?
She bought a 4 and an 8.
All right. Giddy up.
So we had candles.
All right.
We sang.
It's nice.
You know?
Yep.
Best thing about having a birthday is you don't have to sing.
Oh.
Right?
That's a big,
you get out of it.
It's a big win.
Although it is kind of awkward. Like, everybody's looking at you.
Yeah.
They're singing to you. When does that ever happen in any other situation?
Yeah.
People are just singing to you.
Yeah, no.
But,
I think that's why I told you, like, this picture, this video of one of my earliest birthdays, I'm crying. I think it's because it felt awkward that everyone was staring at me and singing.
Yes.
I didn't really understand. Like, why?
What did I do?
I just want to play with some G.I. Joes. Like, leave me alone.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
And then they go into, what's your girlfriend's first name?
Ugh.
I mean, I don't have time for that.
Just get out of here with
that. You got to get to the presents.
Right.
So we just now, finally, the wait is over. It's time for Throwback Thursday. Taco Bell Throwback Thursday on WGR. It's a game we play through Twitter. Tweet the answer to the upcoming question at WGR550. And be sure to include the hashtag TacoBellTBT in your answer.
Righto. You get through and meet all those criteria. You answer the question correctly. You win a $25 gift card for Taco Bell.
All right. So this is the Bills' first trip to Cleveland for a regular season game since 2013. That was a night game. They lost.
Yeah.
They were there also the year before and won.
Really?
Yes. And the two teams, the 2 years, had a total of 4 different head coaches. Each team made a coaching change between those games. We want the name of the coach of the Browns who the Bills beat in 2012. Who was the Cleveland Browns coach when the Browns lost to the Bills in Cleveland in September of 2012? Tweet the answer at WGR550. Include the hashtag TacoBellTBT. Do you know it? Can you name the 2 Bills coaches, at least?
Sure. The Bills coaches are Gailey and Marone.
Right.
You
might want to guess on Cleveland, but you might not want to give it away if you're right.
No, I don't want to. I don't even have a good guess on them right now.
They went through a lot of people.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks and coaches.
Yeah, there's a one and done in there that I'm thinking of that it could be. Now I've got 2 guesses, and I'll just sit on them until we know we have a winner. I have no trouble remembering that the Monday night game, the 2013 game, EJ got hurt. That game started, and it felt like the Bills were just going to truck them. It just was going very well, and Hoyer was the quarterback that started the game. This is the 13 game, not the one we're talking about for the trivia contest. Hoyer gets knocked out, and Brandon Weeden has to come in, and it's just – I remember I was watching the game with Owen. We weren't doing post for that because we did – I think we did pregame, our regular show, and we didn't have to go back in to do postgame. So I'm home watching that with Owen. I'm like, we're going to kill these guys. And then Weeden got hot, Manuel got hurt, and it just it did not go well. I don't remember this 2012 game at all.
Big reason why they lost, or one reason why they lost the second one of those, the night game, was Josh Gordon. It was Josh Gordon's killer time with the Browns, right. And he had a touchdown catch in that game. Spiller has an amazing touchdown run in that game. Beautiful run. One of these plays that helped me to fall for him. Like, just an elite run. I don't know if Manuel is still in the game. He might have been. It's around midfield. And he makes this, like, this move to the left, cuts up the field, and just goodbye. I love that guy. Why didn't that work out? I like Jackson, too.
Yeah.
They're both good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I don't
know.
Winner yet?
The funny thing about Spiller is that it didn't take hold anywhere else either. You know, like, he left here. And did he go from here to New Orleans?
I don't know if he went right there. In New Orleans, he has one play.
Yeah,
the
right.
The Dallas play.
Yeah.
80-yard touchdown catch in overtime.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, okay. They'll know how to use him.
Yeah, that was cool for him.
Yeah, it didn't. It just, and then he's just out of the league.
Joe, do we have a winner yet?
Yes.
Okay. Here's a hint. This Cleveland coach, who the Bills beat in 2012, is coaching in the league now.
As a head coach?
Head coach, yep.
Whoa.
Joe, did you know this one?
No, I definitely did not.
Okay, well, oh, it's Pat Shurmur.
Right, very good.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking of Chudzinski, who was a one and done there.
That was the next year.
And then Pettine was short there, too. I don't know if it was 1, maybe 2 years.
That was 1.
1, wow.
How many coaches is it then since 2012?
Jeez.
Shurmur, Chudzinski, is it right to Pettine? I don't even know. Who's the guy now? Kitchens? Greg Williams would count. Hugh
Jackson.
Ugh,
wow. He would have the most games of any of these guys.
Yeah.
Almost all losses.
if you want to count Greg Williams, they've had 6 since 2012. Shurmur, Chudzinski, Pettine, Jackson, Williams, Freddie Kitchens. Just missed a 2-year stint by Eric Mangini.
Mangini is before Shurmur?
Yes, as is Romeo Crennel, who's also short.
That's 8 in a decade. Well, what are we? It's not too much different. Here's what we are since November of 09. Geron, Fuel, Gailey, Marone, Rex, Anthony Lynn, McDermott. 7.
Yeah, the interims really pad that.
You got to stay away from the interims because they just make you look bad to guys like me.
Right.
Who are going to count them.
Yeah, right.
Because those are our games. All you had to do with Rex is get through like 1 or 2 more games.
Right. Just get it. Just
one more game.
Yeah, just get it home here. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
But no.
Well,
this is, I think, more meaningful. I mean, to the Bills, of course. What they have here. I don't know about the Browns, how that'll end up. If the Browns win, then maybe they can start to roll because they have easy games. They probably have to get to 9 wins to have a playoff chance at all.
Sure.
That's 9-7, and they have 6 losses already, so they might need to win them all
right,
or just lose one.
And they've got 2 with Pitt. I mean, it's funny. Pittsburgh isn't Pittsburgh because no Roethlisberger, but they've got 2 with Pittsburgh. So, like, if they were to get right, that could be really good for them. You know, they are 2 games behind Pittsburgh right now. So, yeah, I would, you know, the super uber Browns fan, just like, you know, every team's got those fans, is, you know, okay, beat the Bills and then, you know, let's see. You know, give me a look at it. And the way the conference is, they might think we can catch Pittsburgh, and if we can catch Pittsburgh, we got a shot at this. You know, maybe an 8-8 team gets in.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to win a couple before they even think of this at all.
Sure.
I mean, right now it sounds like they're trying to stay afloat.
Yeah,
and not drown. But it's bad. I don't know. Every time I think about this game, like a different thought pops in first. Like there was, I mentioned Mario Puig yesterday. How he said, for RotoWire, he said, I can't imagine taking Cleveland -3 against anybody. They're in such disarray. They look like they don't practice. I mean, a mess.
Yeah.
They look like they don't have the basics down. And, you know, a team like that gets in a hole might end up just, like, folding. We'll try again next week.
Well, that's the thing.
Last week they really didn't.
Right. You got to get them in a hole, though. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I started the week not expecting the Bills to be an underdog, but you know, certainly understand it as we've made our way through here to Thursday. Because the Bills don't put anybody down. You know, I mean, if they could get up 10, 14 points, this Browns team might just go, yeah, all right, what are we doing here? Like if Mario Puig is right about that and they've got that in them, then a team needs to. You just keep punching them. And I don't know about the Bills', you know, ability to keep punching.
Then you have Evan Abrams, who sounds more like he wouldn't take the Bills +3.
Right.
Against anybody. That's not a quote.
Right.
But, I mean, Allen here, and we'll talk about him tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow we're only on after the Sabres. The Sabres play at 2 tomorrow in Sweden, so we'll have that coverage and then a post-game show. And then we'll talk some Bills after that in our regular time. It won't be till like 5:15 or 5:30, probably. But, you know, Allen has kind of skated through this first half. He really just has not had to do a lot for them. There are plays, and there are negatives. But he's fortunate. I mean, really, there has just not been so much out of him that you shouldn't be able to say that. He's fortunate that he's on a team in a great position for the playoffs, 6-2. Now, can he elevate? Like we're watching that play out at the same time here, as we watch the season play out, and it's maybe almost of equal interest. What he actually does here?
Yeah,
and it's the Browns and it's Miami again, and then a Denver team with a good defense, but not a good record.
And at home, yeah, right.
At home.
Right.
So every week, at one point. One of us says, or somebody says, it'd be really great if there were no excuses for this game.
Right.
And Washington comes along, it's 160 passing yards. I mean, here we are again.
Right.
Let's see it.
Yep.
The Eagle game was really the one, because the Eagle game they were losing in,
yep.
And that pass defense was so bad, but it was also very windy.
Right.
So I don't know. Yep. I just want to have a game where there's nothing to wonder about or to scrutinize.
I'm not saying this for effect at all. I mean, I don't believe in doing that, you know, mostly. I think the scrutiny on Allen is going to really ratchet up in the second half of the season, because the Bills, everyone who pays attention to the Bills is reacting in some way to, well, I don't know, our guest a half an hour ago called them a fraud. Like there's this that's out there, you know. They haven't beaten anyone, and we all know it. And like some people are going, I don't care, I don't have to be okay. fine. And I'm not poking holes in it. I'm having fun. It's great. They're 6-2. Yeah, beats being 2-6 for sure. But the stakes go up when you're 6-2. Like John Clayton's talking about them winning 11 games. So who are they going to come against? There's only so many Miamis out there. So, and expectations with a 6-2 record, they get to 7-2, 8-2, whatever. They go to Dallas. Fans are going to want him to come through against somebody that is good. And if he doesn't, I think it'll be amplified because the expectations are going to go up. And my feeling is it's just sort of percolating under the surface. It's just, how good is he? Like, I think it's just there, and, like, I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. We all are just sort of, they're good, okay, you know, fine. Like, that's it. But
not a problem yet.
Right. But it'll come. Unless, you know, he comes through in some game where the Philly game, for example, we're trading scores now. Okay, let's go. Oh, they don't get another first down after Philly answers the Buffalo touchdown. I mean, that's what happened. You do that a couple more times against good teams, and I think the conversation around him gets a lot more tense.
Well, that'll be Sunday. We will, again, certainly spend enough time on tomorrow's game, but just won't be all afternoon as we've got hockey. Cool to have the Sabres back.
Yeah, only for a couple days, then they're off again until next Thursday.
Right?
But, you know, that's how it goes. They're in Sweden. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game tomorrow. I mean, we're going to be on the air, you know, during the intermissions and whatever. But
NBC Sports Network, both games?
No.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I think NHL Network maybe has Saturday's game. But tomorrow is definitely NBCSN. I'm not positive where Saturday's game is. But I think NHL Network.
So Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray are radio only from 716.
Yeah, they're doing the game tomorrow from 716. I don't know what Saturday's plan is, but Friday, the instigators are going and doing their show from 716 tomorrow morning from 10 to noon, and then eventually, yeah, Rob and Rick will have the play-by-play from 716. A big party going on down there for that.
All right. Well, congratulations one more time to the inductees here tonight at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame induction dinner. Maybe you're on your way down. That gets going at 7. Hundreds of people are all around us right now in the convention center area preparing for tonight's ceremony. We will have a conversation with Sal Capaccio about Bills Browns, how the Bills have managed to stay so healthy, if there's any one reason for it. And what about the matchup between Tre'Davious White and Odell Beckham in this game? We'll cover those subjects and more with Sal. Sneaky Joe tonight. And Thursday Night Football is where? Do we have Thursday Night Football?
Yep.
Good. I like tonight's game. I'll be watching it closely, the Chargers and the Raiders. Love the Raiders at night. The Raiders in white with the silver numbers that I love tonight.
Oh, that's what they're wearing tonight?
Yeah, and silver pants.
All right.
So it should look great. We'll be right back to the Convention Center with Sal after a short timeout. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
We are live at the Convention Center downtown today for tonight's Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame dinner. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio, that's his music. And he joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Hello, Sal.
Hi, guys. You'll be there with my buddy being inducted tonight. Congratulations, Len Jankowicz. He's my partner on TV side of things when we broadcast high school football. Legendary coach in Western New York. He's a great mentor, a great coach, and a great person. So if you see him, just tell him, sorry I couldn't be there tonight. He knows that, but you guys are... obviously there, and that's great that he's going to be inducted tonight.
For sure. I'm glad you led with that. I definitely was going to bring it up because I know I've heard you talk about him before and have known that you work with him when you do these high school games. So awesome. Yeah. Should be a fun night for him.
He was drafted by the Pirates.
I didn't know that.
Drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates once. Well, now you have something to ask him about. The next time you see him, you have something to ask him.
I guess.
Right.
All right, well, I know, so, he's a humble man. I know he was a very big athlete in high school, played at college as well in Brockport, I believe. And so I'll definitely, and I know he was playing he played baseball there as well. So I'll have to ask him about that. But for sure, I know there's a pretty big class too tonight going in, right, Mike? There's like a lot of people actually going in tonight.
It'll be a big crowd here tonight for sure.
That's pretty much.
Yeah, they usually get like 10, 12 people going in year to year here. They fill this place up. Pretty righteously, yeah.
So, Sal, like Joe just said, how the Bills have everybody healthy. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't everybody hurt? It's November. Isn't everybody supposed to be hurt and the Bills have everybody healthy?
Yeah, I mean, let's put it in perspective. I'm sure guys are hurting. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure that there's some bumps and bruises along the way, but there is nobody on the injury report, basically. You know, this is a team that's going to, you know, head into a game in week number 9. Now, look, they do have guys on injured reserve. There are guys that got hurt this year. You know, they just had one they put on injured reserve the other day.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Which is Maurice Alexander. So obviously that happens as well. Yeah, that's it, man. You got literally 3 names on today's injury report. One was a full participant in Kurt Coleman. The only reason why he's on there is because he was limited yesterday. The other one, same situation, Kevin Johnson with a knee. He was full today. And then Frank Gore is a DNP, but that's only because he was resting. That's not even an injury. You're right, Mike. It is absolutely rare. This is a league of attrition. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we've talked about this before on if there's anything, what goes into that? Is it luck? Do teams deal with this? I firmly believe the changes they've made with the facility, the medical staff, the sports science that goes into it all, I think you do have to have a lot of luck along the way as well. But I think that the way that they've approached that and have a plan for every single player individually, even before they bring him here to Buffalo and they sign him and things like that, I think that all of that has contributed to this situation.
Do you have there has to be luck involved for sure, because, I mean, you got, you know, guys getting their leg rolled up on and, like, all the training mm-hmm. in the world and the load management is not going to prevent someone from landing on your leg. You know, like the times Eric Wood got hurt, for instance, like just horrible, just wrong place, wrong time. Well, I'm wondering just how much the Bills are, if you know, Sal, ahead of the league, if they are with respect to the facilities and the way that they are monitoring each and every guy and have a plan for each and every guy.
Well, I will say if you talk to the players, they would tell you they are definitely ahead. It is something players say that they it's unique. It's unlike anywhere else they've been as far as the facility they have and all the things that go into the facility, red light therapy, things like that, things that I don't even know, you know, what are involved in. So the players will tell you that. I will also tell you that, you know, I did an article a few months ago, right before the season started. People can go back and search it at WGR550.com. One of the quotes that was in that article was from Sean McDermott when we sat with him and Brandon Bean in the offseason. I specifically asked about this. I asked about the facility, what went into it, what'd you think about. And something interesting he said was when they thought about the facility and they said how we're going to do this, the new training center that is, and all the new things they have there with the weight room and stuff like that, he said what we wanted to do was we wanted to be basically like 5 years ahead of the curve. We didn't want, he said, it's like a new computer. When you open the computer, you go home, you open the box, it's already outdated. We didn't want that. We wanted to think about what our team's going to be doing 4 or 5 years from now. How can we get ahead of that? So I can't tell you specifically because I don't go in there and get the treatment necessarily, but I will tell you that that was something they did. And on top of that, what they did was they had trainers that worked in other facilities and they had people in their organization go to other places and organizations, see what they were doing, took ideas from everything, came back and said, okay, this is what we need to do. This is where it's going. This is where it's going to be 5 years from now. And they tried their best to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. They've not played a hard schedule. And sort of logically, you might think that the better team in games will deal with the least physical damage. I'm not sure that really correlates or checks out in terms of the NFL, but it's interesting to think about what other things might be responsible, if there are other things. One thing we've talked about, Sal, today is Tre'Davious White and how on Sunday, really for the first time that I can think of, he traveled with a receiver, and you were the one who alerted me to this on Sunday as White shadowed Terry McLaurin as opposed to staying on one side of the field, which is typical of White and the Bills' defense. And so what about that? Now it's Odell Beckham, and as it happens, the buzz around Cleveland is it's time to start throwing the ball to him. It's maybe too late, but they're going to start actually doing that, or at least you're supposed to think they are. How about the change in strategy last week, whether it might have been with future weeks in mind, and what you expect to have happen this week?
I don't know if as much future wakes in mind as it might have been what happened in the Miami game the week before. It seemed like Levi Wallace was getting targeted quite a bit. And, you know, he had some catches on him. I think Levi Wallace has had a strong year. I don't think that was a particularly strong game. I think they went back and they reevaluated maybe how they can do some things differently. And they decided, you know what, we want to make sure that we have our best against their best. And to prevent one team from targeting one guy and dictating the play, for example, you know, putting Odell Beckham Jr. this week on one side of the field all the time so he's not matched up on Trey White, they could do that. So let's start doing that. So, yeah, probably with future weeks in mind, maybe not any specific opponents, but they wanted to kind of cut it off right there and say, well, we're going to have to start doing this. This is the best way for our team. And you're right, Mike. Like, every time I listen to a press conference from whether it's Freddie Kitchens or the OC or hear anybody in Cleveland talk about their team this week, it is get Odell the ball, get Odell the ball, get Odell the ball, especially in the red zone. I believe he only has 5 red zone targets this year, which is pretty amazing, actually. I think that was the number. And they feel that, you know, the media and the fans feel that it is ridiculous how underused he's been, and now the pressure is on the organization to do it. So I'll make a prediction. I think this is what's going to happen this week. I think either Odell Beckham Jr. goes off on the Bills or Odell Beckham Jr. goes off on the Browns. I think that's one of the that's what's going to happen this week. He's either going to have a day against the Bills on the field, or he's going to be really frustrated because it is out there now. And oh, by the way, I do think some of that is maybe his own. You know, do you remember when Sammy Watkins said he got in touch with his agent and all of that, and he said they need to get me the ball? I think there's some of that going on because there's been some, you know, stories out there in the internet sphere, whatever. There was a story about if things bleed into next year, he could be traded. I think some of that is going on now where there's some of his own people pushing to make sure he gets the ball. And I think this is coming to a head.
Sal, my first thought on this was that it might have been, sure, matchup specific last week off of the bad game from Wallace the previous week against Miami. But if it is a change for them, and it seems like it is, to have a cornerback shadowing one wide receiver, that would change how you do things too. So, you know, looking ahead on the schedule, you've got Beckham this week. You're eventually going to get to Amari Cooper. Maybe they wanted everybody to kind of get familiar with how it looks and how it feels and how you handle it, each guy, when Tre'Davious White is, you know, running side to side instead of just locking down the left side of the field.
Yeah, no doubt, Bulldog. Maybe, I mean, you have to at some point, you know, this team is all about kind of having a plan, right? That could very well be part of the plan. They're halfway through the year. They figure, okay, now we need to start getting everybody kind of acclimated towards doing it this way. We've done it this way. As we go forward, we're going to see better teams. Maybe we get to the playoffs. We have to shut down one wide receiver. We don't want to just do it once we get to January 1 week. So that very well may be the case. Now you have to remember, too, the Bills, like a lot of teams, like most teams, they play a lot of nickel. So it's not just impacting, you know, Levi Wallace, because a lot of these receivers, like Jarvis Landry this week, like Jarvis Landry plays both inside and outside. He plays the slot, but he'll also line up outside. So this week, if Tre'Davious White travels with Odell Beckham Jr., that means Jarvis Landry, people keep saying, well, he's going to be on Levi Wallace. Well, sure, but he's also going to be covered by Taron Johnson sometimes. So I think that, you know, everybody's got to kind of get used to it, and that's what's going to create an interesting matchup this week is if Trey does travel with Odell Beckham Jr., how do the Browns then try to configure their offense to match up how they want to against the Bills defenders?
Which way would you go? Not even just necessarily only with the Bills, but just in general. Like, is because you hear teams do both things, and sometimes it's the best cornerbacks, and they travel or they don't. I don't know that there is, like, one preferred strategy in this league.
I would, if I have a cornerback as good as Tre'Davious White, I would follow the other team's best receiver around. I think that if he doesn't completely, like, shut him down necessarily, I think you put it in the other team's head that it's hard for them to go there. I think if not physically throwing the ball, mentally they might not throw him the ball. They may say, oh, well, he's got that guy on. I got to look. So you're basically taking away an option of the offense. It becomes mental for the offensive coordinator to have to overthink, I think, what to do. It's easy, like I said earlier, it's easy. If Tre'Davious White's only on one side, it's easy to put Odell Beckham Jr. on a spot where you can get him free and away from him. So I think that becomes a mental game. You have to be very confident and very comfortable in a player to do that. It's not just being on that guy, on that side. It's also in the run game and being on the wide side of the field or the short side of the field and being on the right and being on the left. There's so much that goes into it. Are you okay with him tackling, you know, in certain situations, if they're going to go strong or weak, if they put those guys there, there's so much that goes into it. I would do that, Mike. I also would think about this, and this is something that teams have done in the past as well. And it's a bit of a unique concept, but it's harder, I think, with spread offenses today. You can take your number two corner. You could take your number one corner and put him on like their second best option, but double team the number one guy. You know, so you might have Levi Wallace with a safety over top all the time on Odell, for example, but then put, you know, Tre'Davious White on Jarvis Landry or whoever you lines up on the outside. The problem is with so many spread offenses these days, it's hard to do that because you could pull the safety away from where you want him.
Right. How much of a departure, how much of a change? I'm thinking about, you know, the Bills' success over the years here doing it the way they do it. Like, are they running any kind of a risk of getting out of what they do best by doing this?
I don't think so. I think they've played this enough. They did this. They've done it before with Tre'Davious White. But here's the other thing, Bulldog. It's such a team-oriented concept. Position flexibility, as you know, means a lot to, you know, Bills coaches. These guys are used to having to know different things. And that goes as far as safeties in the box, safeties out of the box. Saran Neal, if he's in the game. Taron Johnson, you know, playing corner, playing nickel. If you bring in Kevin Johnson's a great example of this. He can play inside. He can play outside. So I don't think it's too foreign to them simply because these guys are always moving all over the place anyway.
We'll have more with Sal Capaccio in a moment here from the Convention Center. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Now more with Sal here on WGR.
We talked about Baker Mayfield yesterday, but just let's do a little bit more of that. Like, Sal, when you consider where Mayfield is in his career right now, it's not hard to decide, to conclude that he's got a lot on the line here in the next few games, starting with this next game. Like, the pressure is on him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And we had a guy on this morning who was at Jeff Phelps from The Fan in Cleveland. And I know you guys had Daryl Ryder on. And we asked Jeff, you know, what's going on with Baker, just like you guys did with Daryl. And he said, he's tired of trying to analyze the head coach, the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator. He said the guy just has to play better. He's just not playing well enough. And I agree with that. He has to. There's something wrong. I don't know what that is. I don't know if defensive coordinators have done some things differently to him that it's kind of, I guess to use Sam Darnold's terms, he's seeing ghosts. Honestly, like he could very well be doing that, and that's really kind of messed up his mechanics a little bit because of what he's trying to do out there and he can't. It's so weird to me that he's been so accurate, and that's really what got him to where he was in college to win the Heisman Trophy. I will say this, though. The further he gets away from Lincoln Riley, it seems like the worse he's doing, right? And I don't know if I'm not a guy that I think if you're performing in the NFL, you're generally not a quote-unquote system quarterback, but there can be guys like that. And if you're in the right system, it's going to help you. And I do wonder if, you know, whatever Lincoln Riley was doing with him was so good for him that as he gets away from that and as he gets these defensive coordinators that put him in a different bind, a different situation, you know, it's getting tougher for him. So it's a mystery to me. He definitely has not been good this year, guys. And he's also not throwing the ball. He's not being aggressive that much. It's weird. I've watched a couple of games, and it seems like he's kind of going to the safer play sometimes when there's some other plays maybe available to him down the field. And I think last year was a little bit of the opposite, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, that was definitely the case late in this game against Denver on Sunday, right? He had Beckham open in single coverage up the left sideline. It was a fourth down play, so they needed to complete it or the game was going to be over. But instead of taking that shot, he went to a more covered Landry underneath and it went incomplete and game over.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I've seen that a little bit from him this year. And again, it might be because of simply coverage. There may be things that defensive coordinators are doing to him on a weekly basis that somebody's kind of figured out along the way, and they're all kind of copying and saying, yep, this is what he struggles with. This is what we're going to do. So I'm interested in how this game goes for him because he is such a feisty competitor. We all know that this guy, he's going to want to go out there and show the world that this isn't necessarily who he is. But at the same time, this is a good Bills defense. This is a good Bills pass defense. And I think that if the Bills just keep doing what they've been doing, you know, they should be able to take care of business against Baker because until he shows me that he can turn it around this year, you know, I'm not really believing he can. It's halfway through the year, and he's still having the same struggles he did since week one.
Sal, it strikes me we usually save the more in-depth stuff about the opponent for the Friday roundtable, but we will not have that tomorrow because we got a Sabres game and then we're on after with Sabres coverage and whatever. But so this is our last chance. Well, this is it for us, I think, this week. How about the Browns on defense? I mean, Garrett is a wrecking machine. What does he do well? What does he have flaws? Just, you know, their defense in general, I'm just kind of curious. I haven't talked to you about them at all.
Yeah, you know, Myles Garrett is a beast, guys. I mean, he really is. He is somebody that you have to account for. His body is unbelievable. He looks like he should be, I don't know, modeling for some, you know, bodybuilder magazine, basically, instead of playing in the NFL. He's long, he's strong, he's athletic. So I think he's someone that the Bills are going to have to pretty much know where he is. And probably, to be honest with you, they'll probably have to give some help. You know, whether that's, and I'm guessing at this point, you know, that Ty Insecki is going to maintain, you know, playing right tackle there as much as possible. But maybe Cody Ford gets back in that rotation now that, you know, he's healthy. But I think they might have to put a guy over there to help him out. Now, I do think what's going to happen here, though, is the way it's trending, Olivier Vernon, I don't think he's going to play. And that's going to be a big deal for them. That's a big loss for those guys. And on top of that, now they have safety issues. And they've already had kind of a weaker secondary in the back end as far as safety. And now with Jermaine Whitehead's release, Demarius Randall's hurt. There's some opportunities maybe on the back end for the Bills to do some things. Their rushing yardage totals are not good. They're giving up 141 a game and almost 5 per play. So maybe the Bills just started off that way and you know, decide, hey, we want to pound the ball at these guys. But I'll tell you, I think that there may be some plays to make in the passing game if Olivier Vernon is not there. And with that safety situation, this might be a week where the Bills can take those shots that we've all been dying for.
And we will see about that. If you guys want, Sal, you want, we come in for the roundtable. We can do that at 5:30 if you want.
Actually, Mike, you know what? I would love to say hello to you guys, but tomorrow I have a great opportunity. Tomorrow I'm actually going to be calling St. Bonaventure for ESPN+. I'll be calling play-by-play of St. Bonaventure against Vermont basketball.
Cool. Men's or women's?
Men's, St. Bonaventure men's against Vermont, and it's going to be on ESPN+ tomorrow night, so it's an opportunity for me to go down to Oleum, my first time at the Riley Center, so that should be pretty cool, but a good chance to, you know, awesome. be involved with that.
Well, good for you. Real quick, what kind of scene are you anticipating as far as Buffalo fans in Cleveland? Do you have any sense of that? I heard you and Jeremy talking about it a little bit this morning. Like, do you think that – I would think that some Browns fans would be dumping tickets.
Jeremy said that he's read some that are dumping tickets. I do know that there's some Bills bars and, you know, Bills backers bars parties going on and things like that. I've been invited to one or two, so I know that's going to be happening. So it seems like the closer we get to Sunday, the more Bills fans are apparently going. And I do think there's going to be a very strong contingent of Bills fans. I don't think it's going to be like it was in Tennessee. You know, Browns fans are still very passionate. I know that their team is not doing well, but there were a lot of people with a lot of optimism. This is probably a game that, you know, they're still kind of holding on hope, so they're not necessarily going to dump them. And it's going to be pretty good weather from what it looks like. You know, we're looking at low to mid-50s maybe, not any precipitation, so it might be an opportunity for those people to go to the game. But I do think Bills fans, as we get closer, are having more and more opportunities available to them to go to the game, which is only a three-hour drive.
That's right. All right, nice talking to you, Sal. We'll see you later.
All right, guys, have a good time tonight.
Thanks to Sal, also John Clayton and Evan Abrams for appearing today. Everybody have fun tonight here at the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame dinner, and you out there. We'll see you tomorrow with the Sabres and the Lightning from Stockholm at 2, and we'll be on the air then to introduce the game to you, have what's left of our time slot to ourselves there after the post-game show. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Gentlemen, be free.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.